Joy Bell once said, ends are not a bad thing. They just mean that something else is about to begin. And this is the last episode of Behind the Science of Career Development. And it's my great pleasure to bring in one of my mentors, colleagues, and now close friends, Dr. Skip Niles. Hey, Skip, how are you today?
Brian, doing well. I hope you are too.
Yeah. So where are you located today? Are you stateside or are you on another trip around the world?
I am stateside for now. And you too? Are you getting ready to launch yet again?
I leave in a few hours for Azerbaijan.
There you go.
You mentored me well when it came to flight planning.
That's why you are the global career guy. Right?
You're off. You're probably thinking Rwanda soon, right?
I will be doing taking a class over to Rwanda for the month of January, and so that's my next trip. As I leave the States at 6 a.m. on January 2nd.
So this is a good moment to say he's the real original global career guy. He just never branded himself well. And so I think I took the name away from you. My apologies.
That's okay. No worries. Hey, with that title comes a lot of pressure.
What I really wanted to bring you on in this final episode is to talk a little bit about the future of career development. Mm-hmm. And if we think about it from sort of a talent development perspective, since you had so much global influence, since you've impacted so many people in the field and continue to do so, I wanted to find the best way to sort of pick your brain a little bit on what you see about the future. And I got to be honest, in the moment, I'm struggling to come up with the best sort of question or comment to get us started. I guess, how do you think about yourself as a mentor with so many people looking to you for mentorship?
Oh, well, you know, and I know you know this, but I'll say it more publicly. I am the beneficiary of mentoring. And, Ed Herr was an amazing mentor for me and saw things in me that I sure as hell didn't see in myself. And so somehow he saw those things. I have no idea how, but he sort of pulled me along. And, I think probably the most special moment of that was, he was the first distinguished professor of education at Penn State. And however many years later, when I was named a distinguished professor, the first person I called to tell was him. I didn't call my family or anybody else. I called Ed. And it was really an emotional call because I said, without you, none of this would have happened. I wasn't going to an academic. I wasn't going to go that route at all. I was going to be a career services professional. Nothing wrong with that. Just that's where I was headed until he intervened. And so for better or worse, right? But so I feel like I really... it's really a pay it forward thing, and so I try to honor that gift that he gave me by serving as a mentor for folks when they ask. So I've got a bunch of people right now that it's really an honor to step into somebody's life, career, and not to give advice, but it's the Ram Dass thing. We're all just walking each other home. To walk alongside you or anybody else, that it's really, there are a few things more special than that.
In my experience, and I don't know if you recall this, but I never thought about getting a doctorate. I'd never been to professional conferences. I remember going to the first NCDA and you telling me, if you see me, just walk beside me and I'll introduce you to everyone and help you start to connect. So I think your style has a little bit of a law of attraction piece to it. Mm. And I believe Dr. Herr, I think that there was another famous career person on your dissertation committee. Can you tell the story of how you got connected with Don Super?
Don Super, yeah. So when I was new faculty member at the University of Virginia, part of my job involved directing our clinic for, we provided career counseling to adults in the community of Charlottesville, Virginia. And, you know, and it wasn't things, the services were okay, but they weren't, there was no structure to them. And it just so happened, I went to this workshop that Don Super was doing at Lynchburg College at the time. And so went down, he was talking about this thing called the CDAC model, Career Development Assessment and Counseling Model, which I knew very little about. But I went there and I thought, wow, this would be great to use this these assessments and this approach in our clinic for adults. And so I got back and I sent him a letter, because that's how you did it then. I sent it and said, just basically saying, I attended this, it was great, and I'd love to use your model in our clinic, if that's okay with you. And he wrote back and he said, yeah. He said, why don't I come up to University of Virginia and I'll do some training. I'll spend a few days with you. Of course, I said, sure, we'll do that.
How generous.
And so he did. He came up and could have been more generous and with his time and his expertise. And at one point, he and I were sitting in my office and carving out research questions. And I was probably like a second or third year assistant professor. And I'm thinking, holy crap, how cool is this? Here's Don Super coming up with the research questions. And and then he, and I kept calling him Don or Dr. Super. And at one point he said, look, if we're going to work together, you need to call me Don. And I understand you have a nickname. It's not Spencer, but it's Skip or something. I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to call you Skip. You call me Don. Of course, I said, okay, Dr. Super. But and then a few weeks later, so he put me on his research team for the CDAC model. And a few weeks later, he sent a letter out to the research team members organizing a meeting. And it was directed to Steve Brown, Donna Walsh, Larry Osborne, and Spike Niles. So I kept trying to figure out how we. I was so intimidated to tell him that wasn't my name. How lame Spike. Is that? We finally got through it. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it was just so cool to, you know, I did one article with him and did his final presentation at ACA, and it was just cool to be part of that process with him. Yeah. So yeah,
what amazing. Yeah, and I see, you know, I see the networking part, I see the generosity part in you. I guess what I'd be curious to know about is, obviously you have a finite amount of focus, time, and energy, and there's a lot of demand, I think, from people that would love to have you and love to have other people in the field as mentors. What are the things that sort of attract you to working with someone in either a formal or informal mentorship way, or even as like a colleague, like with Dr. Super, where they become a part of your team? How do you sort of sift through the talent pool out there?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever said no to anybody that reached out and asked. Yeah, I probably have, but I can't think of an instance right now.
I have a list here, actually.
You do? Okay, all right, yeah. An all-star list, probably. But there's a vulnerability in that I certainly resonate with. You know, I mean, my God, so many ways. You know, we mentioned Ed Herr and Don Super, also Mark Zavickas. I mean, when I was, again, assistant professor, and Mark was the editor of the Career Development Quarterly, and I was trying to get published in it, I mean, he gave so much of his time to help me with writing, to talk to me about how he does it, and to sort of guide me through that process from his own kind of approach to writing. And he's an amazing writer, I think. I went out to Kent State multiple times. He came to the University of Virginia, and our families got connected and all that kind of thing. So, you know, it's just, there is a sort of a vulnerability. And a lot of folks, it's like, and a humility that I certainly resonate with people when they reach out from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And when it feels authentic, you know, and it feels like not like being, I don't know how else to say this, but when it's not just kind of using what I'm trying to use whatever connections you have to get to some other place, but when it's genuine, you know, it's authentic and out of humility and vulnerability, wow, you know, tough to say no to that. And yeah.
So if we have some people considering the field or younger in the field, what's your vision of the needs of the future in the field of career development? What do younger colleagues and future colleagues need to think about developing as capacity, skill sets, attitudes to do this better in the future?
That's a great question. And it's almost like I'm kind of split in responses that come to mind, because on one hand, it's like, what do I wish would have happened? And then what do I think is going to happen? You know, what do I wish? You know, as you've heard me say, another, you know, there are a few things more personal than a career choice. And, you know, we, I think historically have really tried to isolate work from other life roles that people engage in. And I think that's a huge mistake. In other words, I think what we do is we create an artificial scenario that separates work as if it's lived in a compartmentalized silo from other life roles. Yet, and Don Super, this is straight out of Don Super. And still today, I think we don't talk about this enough, but Don Super back in the, you know, the 70s and 80s with his work important study and other things, he was focused on the fact that not everybody places the same salience on work in their lives. And what really matters is how the person sitting across from you structures the basic roles of living into a life that they find satisfying, whatever that might be for them. And we sort of assume that there's a sort of a monolithic kind of value set attached to work. That it's especially, I think, maybe in the U.S., that work is so important. It is a central thing. And I was reading an article, and I forget what it was, from Gallup yesterday, about, you know, well-being, and at the top of, in the center of well-being, I don't know if you saw that one, is career well-being. I thought, yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And it said something, it defined it as loving what you do every day, for work every day. Who the hell does that? I haven't found that occupational nirvana yet. I mean, it's just like, I've only been at this stuff for 68 years, you know, so that is living. So what do I know? But I think that thinking more holistically, understanding that work is situated in a complex web of engagements in life that have a variety of sort of levels of impact on the individual's self-concept. So how do I see my, I see myself in, you know, as a worker in one way, as a friend in another way, and, you know, the list, you know, as a parent in another way, as a partner in another way. So it's, how does that all kind of gel in a way that I can say life is satisfying most of the time? That's tricky as hell to come up to sort through that. And it's more of a, I don't think it's a balancing thing as much as a juggling thing. And so I think acknowledging that basic fact of living in the work that we do as career practitioners, and understanding that if, you know, this advice giving stuff that often people default to, if it were that simple, you'd never meet the person that you're providing career assistance to. They would have figured it out themselves. It's never that simple. There's other, I think there's always something underneath it. And so having the capability to meet a person in that place, which I think does require some at least basic counseling skills, to be able to really respond from a place of empathy and trying to experience that person's world as if it were your own without losing that asset quality, as Carl Rogers said, and some cultural humility and sensitivity, responsiveness to that person's context as opposed to my own. is not easy to do. And, you know, and I know this is, I know you approach it that way, and we need more people like you providing supervision to practitioners, because you understand that complex dynamic that is part of career choice. If it was only about career indecision, that is an information deficit, pretty easy to do it, pretty easy to take care of it. But many of us have more of a career indecisiveness sort of struggle. I certainly have in my life multiple times. It's like I needed somebody to help me sort through all the stuff I'm trying to sort through, but I can't do on my own. So moving our field in that direction. Now, my fear is that our field isn't moving in that direction.
Sure.
That there's a reductionistic, more simplistic orientation to what's involved with career intervention. And that if I get 120 hours of training and this or that or whatever it might be, I'm ready to go. And I won't do counseling. I'll just do this. Well, I don't know. I rarely sat down with a client where it didn't pretty soon get into more complex kinds of questions.
Yeah. And if I can add, like,
please,
one of my global concerns is that we are misrepresenting the controllability of the process. We're saying, set a goal in session one when we don't have a relationship, we don't have context, we don't have insight, and treat that goal as if it is a stepwise linear process, and then you're going to get what you desire. And it's much more, and I mean, I think Krumbholz gave us this, I think Bright and Pryor give us this idea of we're preparing people to swim in the river of life more, not to just traverse to the other side of the river. I fear that's lost, I think, too. And then I'm very aware of your time today, and I'm not going to let you off without sharing a little bit about, you know, your impact on me. And I think the other thing that I want career professionals to hold is how much a person, a career counselor, a career coach, human resources can be an inflection point in someone's life, and that's usually a surprise or a lack of intention. So you've impacted my life, you know, by showing up at my capstone course at the end of my master's program with your daughter Jenny, and you know,
I remember that was
some
so
might
cool.
say strong arming me into becoming your doctoral student, but I'll be more generous than that. I'm encouraging me.
Well, maybe
but I feel
I
like
that.
You saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and I've always been deeply appreciative of that.
I was going to say, maybe I learned that from Ed Hur too, but well, I remember that day. I remember it clearly. You know, it was, I think it was in Rackley Building at Penn State on the campus. You were in class, and I was tracking you down. And the reason I was tracking you down, which you didn't mention, is because you got a fellowship that was highly competitive, that, you know, was, I think, very prestigious. And I think there may have been only one in the whole College of Education, and you earned it. Yeah. So I was just like thrilled to come tell you, you know.
That's awesome. And here's the thing. I'm not sure who filled out my application for that fellowship, but I don't believe it was me. I believe it might have been you.
Yeah, when you see talent, you go for it. Talent development.
And just, you know, and to close, and for me, when mentorship is at its best, it ends right where we sit today. I consider you one of my closest friends, and while being a mentor, I feel like I get to impact your life in positive ways now too. That's amazing.
That is the thing about mentoring. I think of it's, you know, some people think of it as in one direction. Mm-hmm. It's never one direction. I get so much out of connecting with you. And, you know, hearing your ideas and kind of what you're up to, and seeing you go, you know, seeing how the ways in which your career is taken off and all the things that you're doing as you take off for Azerbaijan later today, you know, and it's really cool, especially the older I get, the more that happens for me vicariously rather than stuff that I'm doing. And so that's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, I think I learned from you the massive gift that ending things well can be in this world, because we rarely get to end things well. And so having you on for my final episode is the optimal ending of this journey on Behind the Science of Career Development. So, Dr. Spike Niles, thank you so much. Oh, Skip Niles, sorry. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. I deeply appreciate it.
Privilege. Congratulations and all. And this series you did, I think, was really a stroke of genius, and really, I think, a great way to bring together ideas and people and your own way of giving back and adding to our profession. So thanks for your good work in this.
All right. Well, for the final time, this is Dr. Brian Hutchison, the Global Career Guy, signing off. It's just the end of a chapter. I'll still be out in the world doing this work, and I can't wait to meet you all again.